Okay, so our course is Praying Like Paul, and so we're continuing on here. We're in lesson 30. This is out of the prayer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, so if you have a Bible or a device you want to turn to that, you can. And so we looked at the beginning of this last week. My lesson today is that God may fulfill, and then there's two things that are the object of that that phrase. So we'll be looking at that this morning. So let's read it. Lesson number 30, that God may fulfill. And so 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. So Paul prays, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to finish up the verse 11. Last week we talked about that God may make you worthy of his calling. Again, notice that the may means it's subjective. It's potential. It's not potential because of God. It's potential because of you. And that the God may make you worthy, that you may open your heart to receive so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In other passages, Paul said, walk this way. Here he says that God may make you. And so here he's talking about the other end of that. I don't know, I got an image of a funnel the other day, God pouring into the top of the funnel his grace and his ability and his power, but we're receiving on the other end of it. The narrower the opening on the funnel, the slower things flow. We want to widen it out so that God's grace continue to flow into us. There's no way in our life that we will ever walk in a complete balance of what God has given toward us. That's walking worthy. That we're walking in such a way that we're showing all that God has done in us and for us. We'll never reach that. But we want to continue walking in that way, and we need God's help. Because we can't just do that on our own. And so we need to be able to draw from God. If I'm going to walk in a way that honors him, I need to draw from him the things that I need. So Paul prays that God would make them worthy. And then in our lesson today, that God might fulfill or may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. So there's two things in here. That God may fulfill every resolve for good, and that God may fulfill every work of faith, and then by his power. And so these two things that Paul is saying again comes back to the fact that God may fulfill these things. God wants us to walk in this way. And as we read on in verse 12, this is the way we walk in order that the Lord Jesus be glorified, not us. If we turn this into works, you know, that we have to do this to be worthy of the Lord, we have to do this in order for God to do his part, then we're the ones getting the glory. But what we need to do is allow him to work through us. And so that's the may that goes along with this fulfill. Now, when we know that in Christ Jesus, when we got saved, we have been filled to the fullness with God. Our inner man has been totally recreated in his image and likeness. We have been recreated in power and in ability, the fullness of relationship with him, in righteousness, in joy and peace, in union with God. All of that's been done on the inside of us. The question is, how much of that are we living outward so that others can see it? And the idea is that we need to bring what's inside to the outside. To get the idea of a seed. Everything that plant is going to be is in that seed. You know, and it's kind of amazing to think. You know, an apple seed is pretty small. But everything that tree is going to be is already in that seed. It's there. You know, the human being, we start out as a single cell that is divided and then grows into adulthood and keeps growing and keeps growing. And so we're all still growing. And the more we grow, the better God is fulfilled, right? Yeah, well, okay, not so much. But so it is with what God has done. It's one thing to know that the apples are inside, but are they on the outside? You can have, I read a thing the other day, you can plant an orange tree in a planter in your home and you will have oranges, or go with lemons, or whichever way you want to go. The lemons are on the inside, but if you plant it and it just grows and grows and never produces lemons, what good is it? Well, it's a tree, you know, it's pretty, and it's got green leaves, and it might give you a little bit of shade, but it's not producing anything. And so that it is the way that it is in our Christian life, in a sense. That's very simplistic. But this is what Paul is praying for. These believers have God on the inside. They've been recreated in his image and likeness. They may not know all of that, do we? No. But, you know, we're growing in that understanding and that knowledge. And many times the more we understand it, then the more we're able to express it. Very few times does God express through us things that we didn't know we had in us. Now, that comes at some times. I mean, we suddenly be strong or suddenly have a faith or whatever that you don't know even where that came from. But there it is. And that did come out of you. But what God wants is for us to live in such a manner that he is glorified outwardly. And so that the world can see that it is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that's doing this. It's not just that I'm smarter than everybody. I'm not. But, you know, it's not just your wisdom that is you. It's not just your ability that is you. It is not just the niceness that you show to people. That's not just you. It's God working out of you. And, you know, that's what we need to grow in. And that's what Paul is praying for these believers. Now, again, these are young Christians. But obviously, they've got quite a bit of maturity because Paul is mentioning in both 1st and 2nd Thessalonians things that he's already taught them that he just wants them to understand and to grow in. And that is what's in this passage. So Paul prays, doesn't teach, which like I'm doing, he prays for them. And he prays that they may, in two ways that is, that they may fulfill every resolve of good, and that they might fulfill every work of faith. So let's look at these two things that God may fulfill. And just a little bit more about this word may fulfill. The word fulfill means to supply, to furnish, to satisfy. And in this context, what he's talking about is that God will fulfill or supply or furnish these things in you. Both this desire for good, which I'm going to change that word resolve to desire, your desire for goodness, and also your work of faith. That God would be the source of this, not you. That God would supply these things to us. Because, now I know, I'm a good person. You know, so I'll just throw that out there. You know, I'm a good person. But that goodness better not be coming from me. Because any goodness that I'm showing should be coming from God. So that he's the one that is receiving the glory. Too often we get caught up in doing things to show that we're good instead of letting the goodness come out of us and the goodness that we desire to have or desire to do. There are times when we try to do good and it is, it's not just that it's not received, it's the wrong thing. And so you think you're doing good, but you're really not. Did you ever try to say something nice to someone and what you said was totally wrong? you know, and you thought you were going to, you know, going to compliment them or whatever, and in fact it insulted them. So you wanted to do good, but you didn't do so well, because that's you coming out of your mind. Well, I think I need to do this. You know, we can spend our time serving in a way, service-motivated people. How many service-motivated people do I have here in the room? You just love to serve. You love to, yeah. Well, I need to be told what to serve. You know, so I'll be there. You just tell me, and I'll serve. But the serving thing is not in me. You know, and there's certain people that if you say we need this done, bang, they're right there. They're ready to start. They're ready to do it. You know, it's like, yep, you ask me, and I'll do this. In fact, I'll do it before you even ask me.
Yes.
That's not me. That's not my gifting. But you can also get caught up in trying to serve when it's all your strength. And you're doing it in your own ability, and you get burned out. That's because you're not letting God work his work through you. And so what Paul is praying here is that God supply what he wants for you. Now, I know we could just say, well, God just does that. No, we have to be involved in this because we're called to live a life of faith, not a life of works, not a life of destiny. It's not that I'm just doing whatever God wants me to do. I need to serve. You say, well, if God wanted me to serve, he'd make me serve. It's not just God doing through us. We need to participate. Why? Why do we need to participate? Why do we need to pray?
God set it up that way.
Yeah? What? Because it gives God glory. When I pray, I'm asking God to do something, he's getting the glory for that. When I serve in his name, he's getting the glory for that. I could serve and do those things out of my own strength. I can. But God gets no glory out of that. But when I'm drawing from him, he does. And so, again, this word signifies a potential. The Greek form of this word, subjunctive mood, means it is potential. It doesn't have to be. God's not going to make you do these things. And what he's talking about is express goodness. It's in you, but God's not going to make you express it. It has to be your desire. So the may here is not whether God will or will not. Because God will if you allow him. And it better be think of is whether he can do these things through us based on what we will allow. What we are open to him doing. Because we're not robots. We're not just made to do this. And, you know, well, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do. You know, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to wear this morning. I'm waiting for God to tell me, you know, should I start my car? You know, which direction to drive? All those things. There's got to be some of you involved in doing these things. And so God may, but I am the gatekeeper of what God may do through me. Does that make sense to you? I have to desire to let him do these things. And God will minister to people if I will open my mouth. So opening my mouth has to be the first thing. But then I also have to draw from the wisdom of God. So in a sense, I'm allowing God to work through me, but a lot of it's up to me. It's God's power. We'll talk about that. But I have to allow this. So that's satisfying is going to apply to both these things. Doing good and works of faith. So what's the first thing? And this is a strange phrase, and it's complicated to translate. So that God may fulfill every resolve for good. That's the way some translations have it. Literally, that your good pleasure... that God will fulfill your good pleasure in goodness. What? You know, so yeah, it's a complicated phrasing because of the words that are used in reference to this. The first word, eudokia, which we translated as resolve, really is a word that means to make a decision, to resolve to do something, to pursue something. It is the will to accomplish something. So this first Greek word, which means, you know, the pleasure of good, or good pleasure, as it's translated in some places. This is my desire, my decision, my resolve to express goodness. So it's my good pleasure to express goodness. I know, it's strange, weird phrasing. Paul, could you have said this better? Well, Paul didn't say it. God did. So God says, so work it out. You know, it's like teacher gives you a math problem and says, here, you work it out. But, and so this first word means to make a resolve, to make a decision. It's to have the will to accomplish something. And so Paul is praying that you will have, that God will fulfill in you, this resolve. You make a decision and God will fulfill it. But you've got to what? Make the decision. That God will resolve, give you this resolve, help you have this desire. I want to desire what God wants me to desire, which isn't necessarily what he wants you to desire. It may be different for each one of us. And we need to fix ourselves on the resolve or the desire that God wants to express through me. I can't just follow everybody else. And everybody says, well, this is what we're doing. Everybody needs to be doing this. No, everybody doesn't need to be doing that. Everybody needs to be doing what God wants them to do in their life. And we can get caught up in giving or in serving or in doing these things. If people tell us, everybody, if you're a good believer, if you're going to be a member of the church, you need to be doing this or whatever. But is that what God wants for you? Is that how he wants to express himself through you? And so what is this that I need to pursue? And this is the other complicated part of this word. What is it that God wants me to pursue? Goodness. Not just good. It's not just the Greek word agathos, which is good. It has, it means an inherent goodness that is expressed. It's one thing to say, I have the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. All right, but that's not the way that this word is used. You have it. You got, pardon the phrase, you got apples inside, but are you expressing them? Are they coming forth? It's like, take another word, love. Well, the love of God is in me. You don't know it, but it's in me. Well, what good is that? Well, I got joy inside me. You don't know it. Peace inside of me, but you don't know it. Righteousness, I'm creating is righteousness. It's in me, but am I treating you that way? So these things are in us, yes. And goodness is something that I need to pursue. Not just good. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can look at, and this is good, and that's good. That's not good. That's evil, you know. So we look at things as being good or whatever. Are you good? Yes, I'm good. I'm being good. But goodness is the fruit of what I'm desiring. I'm expressing this goodness. I don't just have it. You know I have it. And so goodness is something that people can see. It's something that is affecting other people. And Paul wants these believers to not just be good because, bless God, he made me good, and so I've got good on the inside. Nobody knows it, but I'm a good person. Well, if you're a good person, somebody ought to know it. I'm a phlegmatic. And I think everybody pretty much knows that. If I'm happy, I'll tell you. Yeah, because, you know, you're not necessarily going to know it by looking at me. Joy is supposed to be something else. Am I excited? Yeah. Because I said so. I'm really excited. I love sports games. I love NASCAR racing, football, especially. And I'll cheer for my team. Yeah, go. Hope you win. They make a touchdown, it's great. Good for them. You know, that's my excitement. You don't want me in the stadium leading the cheer section. Because I'd be down there just kind of standing there. Yay. Yay. Give me a flag to wave. Okay, there it is. I waved it. I would never be a mascot, even though you could dress up and nobody knows who you are. I still would be so intimidated, I would just stand there. So if I'm going to be a mascot, I need to be a tree. Yeah. Don't one of the football teams have Stanford? Don't they have like a pine tree for their, isn't that like their mascot? How exciting is that? Yeah, it's like having a stone for your, you know, for your mascot. Okay, I'm way off track here, but so my pleasure, my desire is that I am doing good things, doing goodness, that my goodness is being expressed. And so Paul says, I'm praying for you to do this. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not, but I can't do this in my own strength. But here's the other side. God can't do it without me. God can't show his goodness through me if I'm not allowing him to. I've got to let him. Now, he could show goodness through someone else. Well, let them go and share, you know. Let them go and hug these people. Let them go and say they're happy that they're here. I've told you before, that's a big challenge for me in the lobby, you know. Walk up to strangers and introduce myself and tell them I'm happy that they're here. I don't even know who they are. But anyway, I might find out if I'd open my mouth, you know, and talk to them. That's my intimidation. I'm sorry. I'm just opening up myself here. I'm going to get all kinds of correction afterwards. But I can desire to do good and want God to work through me, but I've got to do something. I got to let it work out of me. And so I've got to allow myself to express this. And these Thessalonians, you know, and every other believer in churches Paul writes to, they could just sit there and say, well, I'm a good person. But does anybody know it? Does anybody receive from that goodness? If I'm being good, what am I doing for you? What kind of good am I expressing? So that's his first desire. It is the desire to do goodness. I know that you'd get X'd, you know, in your English class and grammar class for that. My desire to do goodness. But now in our day of texting, we can write any verbal forms and any sentence structure we want. You know, it doesn't matter. So the first thing is that I desire to do goodness. And God will fulfill if I'll desire. Say, God will fulfill it if I desire. He won't fulfill it through me if I don't desire it. And so I will have to desire to do good. And the second thing is God will fulfill every work of faith. Now, there is a faith that we have toward God. That's the faith of salvation. The faith for receiving healing. So there is a faith that we're receiving something from God, right? Our faith is directed to receive something from God, to receive salvation. By grace we are saved, how? Through faith. And so there is believing for healing, there is faith expressed toward God's provision, faith expressed toward God bringing peace into your life, using you for, here, his good works. And so God will do those things through me, but it's a strange thing. I'm believing, right? I'm expressing faith to do works of faith. Because this works of faith is what is springing out of me. Works of faith are what I'm doing. It's not enough for me to believe that God will do this thing for you if I'm not working. And the idea of works here has to do with things that can be seen. Energy that produces. Ergos, ergon. The root for the word energy. And so energy in the Greek language means power that produces something. It's like a machine that is producing something. So this morning I put a piece of paper on a copy machine, and the copy machine was working. It was producing, and it produced those papers that you're looking at. I put water and coffee grounds in the coffee pot, and it produced coffee. Like it or not like it, but it produces. So also, I express my faith toward God to receive something from him. But I also need to be expressing my faith toward God for him to do something through me. It's not enough for me just to receive for me, from God for me. That's great. That's wonderful. And that's where a lot of our faith issues come. You know, we use our faith for us. But are we using our faith to do things for others, to produce for the kingdom of God? And you can't do this out of your strength. It's works of faith. So James and Paul sometimes are treated like they conflict, contradicting. There it is. Like they're contradicting, but they're not. Because Paul's talking about the faith to be saved, and James is talking about the faith that shows that you're saved. And so thank God for the faith by which I am saved, right? But then also I need to be thanking God for the faith that he's working through me, what he's doing for others. Works, you show me your faith by your works. I'll show you my works by my faith. So these two things, and so I am believing God to do things by faith. Faith that produces, faith that shows, faith that people can see, faith that actually affects things. And so this is what Paul wants them to be directed toward, that God will fulfill every work of faith. And you know, of course he will. I mean, God, if I believe him for strength or peace or life, he's going to do that, right? He's going to do that. But what about me believing for him to use me to minister to other people? About helping other people. And I am expressing my faith in God for him to do things through me. And so that's a work of faith, not a work to get saved. It's a work because I am saved. Am I making that? And I know this is old stuff for most of us. So this is not the faith that's directed to receiving from God, but this is the production as a result of my relationship with God. The work that is the production of my faith in God. It's inspired by my faith. I believe that God has saved me. But am I interested enough that he saves you? So testifying is not about God saving me. It's about God reaching you through me and doing works through me. And of course, how do we do that? By our own strength? How do we do that? By the power of God. They're works of faith. I'm believing who? Faith is directed to God. So I'm believing for Him to do these things through me. Now, this isn't the first time that Paul has used this phrase. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul says that I am remembering before God. So he writes to this little church that's maybe 6 months old in the Lord. I'm remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and endurance, steadfastness, endurance of hope. Faith, love, and hope. Isn't that beautiful? It's that triad that Paul mentions several times in his letters. But notice what it says. Your work of faith. So faith works. Energeis, faith produces. Faith produces. Faith toward God brought me to salvation. But faith in God will help me to minister to you. He will express through me and touch people's lives through me. My trip to Peru. God did things through me that even, you know, as mature, semi-mature as I was in the Lord, I never expected Him to do. I was thrown into a place where I was laying hands on almost 900 people. And, you know, I don't know how to do that. First of all, I can't speak a word of Spanish. And they couldn't speak a word of English. So how can God work through that? I had to believe Him. You know, I just laid hands on people and I prayed in tongues and spoke the name of Jesus. Had children with cataracts that were removed. Cataracts in children is a major problem in some of those regions of the world because of they keep breeding the same thing, you know. And so it just becomes something that every child has because every person has come from the same village and they just keep producing it. And so things that I had never seen. I had a little boy that, I don't mean to be crude, but his testicles had not descended. He was 6 years old. And that's supposed to happen at birth or soon after. 6 years old, he had not had. I had no idea what his problem was. Mother was crying. I went over and began praying for her. I was looking for an interpreter. Couldn't find one. But I just laid hands. It's the work of faith that God doing something. I couldn't do it. I couldn't help this mother. I couldn't even talk to her. So I began to pray for her. And I don't mean to be crude. But here's this little boy standing right in front of her. And she reached her hands down inside of his pants. And I thought, what is she doing? But I couldn't ask her. So I just prayed in the name of Jesus, you know, and prayed in tongues. I had no idea what God was doing. And as I finished, she screamed. And she began screaming, and she then talked to her little boy, and she was crying and screaming, and the little boy started crying and, you know, and rejoicing and happy and tears and all this. And I'm looking for an interpreter. I said, somebody tell me what just took place, because I didn't know what his problem was, and I have no idea what he just got healed of. So I just went pray for other people. Couldn't find an interpreter, so I'm turning around, praying for other people. There's a crowd of probably over 1,000 people packed in front of this little stage. Next thing I know, I hear this voice up there saying, my child had no testicles, now he has two. That's the little boy I prayed for. So, yeah. First there were none, now there are two. That's how she put it. I thought, oh my gosh. I didn't know. I'm just letting God work through me, but if I had not done my part. I mean, I'm not saying this little mother wasn't believing, but they had no access to surgeons. I mean, a surgeon could have helped fix this, but there was no access to that. We're in a jungle village. What are they going to do? No doctor. Nobody to tell her. Nobody explained to her what the issue was. But God knew. And he did his work because all I did was believed. I couldn't fix that. Because of my surgical background and things like that, I knew what that was after he told what the problem was. But I was asked to tell before all these teenagers, you know, who were on the team. There was like 100 teenagers and 10 adults. And so they said, "Jeff, get up and tell the testimony of the little boy." I got teenagers out there that are like 10, 12 years old. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll tell them. But some of these kids are going to have to go to their parents and say, "What's that all about?" So anyway, but God does if we will engage ourselves. And that's what Paul wants these believers. So he's praying that God will satisfy in them every work of faith. But they've got to reach out. They've got to let this faith flow through them. God doesn't want it all locked up inside of us. We've got everything we need to go to heaven. And so you got saved and you can just sit there and wait for Jesus to come and go to heaven. And you'll be there in the presence of God. But you've not done any works of faith. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to condemn. That's not a condemnation. It's not a criticism. It's just that you didn't let God work through you, and none of that applies to any of you. But people haven't let God work through them. Number one, they didn't know he could. There are believers all over the world who have no idea that God can do these things through them. They don't know how to pray for one another. They hardly know how to pray for themselves. And so Paul's saying, I want this to be done, but you can't do it in yourself. And here's God saying, I can't do it without you. Say, wait, God can do anything. No, he needs your mouth. He needs your voice. I know we could say, you know, over in Iran and other places, God is showing up. And just by supernatural appearances, he's bringing people to a place of salvation. But in order for them to know what's going on, somebody's got to go and teach them. Somebody's got to go. Somebody has to help them understand what they just got. Thank God they got saved. But if they're going to be fruitful, then they've got to have education. You've got to come to know some things. So people can't grow if we don't teach. We've got to open our mouth. We've got to engage people. Can God heal somebody supernaturally out of the blue, you know, laying in a hospital bed with nobody ever telling them? Can God do that? Yeah, but he usually doesn't. He uses who? He uses us. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to give you the power to be witnesses. Why did he do that if he didn't expect them to express it, to use it? Why are the gifts of the Spirit for? Not for me. I don't receive gifts of the Spirit for me. None of the gifts are for me. The gifts are for you. God's gifting me and placing me as a part of the body of Christ, where he placed me in his work of ministry. That's for you. It's not for me. And so I need to let God work through me. And that's what Paul is praying for these Thessalonians. And how is this going to happen? The last phrase of this verse, which actually should be attached in toward the beginning, it's by his power. We could put this, it really belongs after the word fulfill. that God may fulfill by his power your pursuit or your desire for goodness and the fulfillment of your works of faith. And so the by his power goes all the way back to the beginning. God will fulfill how? By his power. Not by you, not by your strength, not by your smarts, not by your wisdom, not by your strength or ability, not by your boldness, because folks, I am not bold. That is not me. But God has worked boldness through me at times. Shouted a little baby to be alive, and it happened. I didn't know after I'd done it that the baby was dead. But the child came alive. I don't normally have that kind of boldness. I'm not the type of person who will walk up to a dead child and just pray. But I was thrown in the middle of it, and I really didn't understand what I was doing, but I just shouted, live. It just came from inside of me. And this dead child came alive. I didn't do that. That is not Jeff. I would stand at the back of the platform. I'm happy back there. I'll pray for you as you're laying hands on the sick. All right, but God wants to do things through us, and it's by his power. It's not by me. I don't have this ability. I don't have ability to communicate effectively. But that's part of the power of God that's working through me, because he put me in the body of Christ as a teacher. I just trust that it's producing. But I have to trust by faith, by his works of faith. So in this passage, Paul's going to go on to talk about that all of this should be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and him in us. Powerful phrasing. So we'll look at that in our next lesson. But Paul's desire is for these Thessalonians to really be producing. This is a young church, but he wants them alive. He wants them producing. But sometimes some of us more mature people need to come alive too. God's not done with us. Amen. Dr. H.
A work of faith. I got a text from Zach. They had a meeting in Munich last week, but they just went out on the streets to just praise the Lord. And they were sharing the gospel with people coming by. Zach was talking to a man there in the crowd, and he had been in an accident, and his hand was burned, his arm burned, and his fingers were all webbed from the scarring, so he couldn't really...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh.
And so Zach talked to him, found out what the problem was, and said, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. So Zach prayed for this guy, and the hand was
popped open.
Thank you, Lord.
And he sent a video for you. Yeah. That's a work of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. But it takes boldness to express it.
Yeah, right.
You got to step in the middle of that.
Yeah.
So, when we're talking with people or greeting people and asking people, and they ask for prayer, don't wait to go home and pray.
Amen.
Pray for them right there. Say, yeah, but it's, you know, it's in the middle of the lobby and it's in church, whatever. Yeah. Pray for them right there. Let God use you. I'm not saying you're going to see it right there, but there's the opportunity for you to express faith, to let him fulfill every good work of faith through you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for all these things that you do through us.